Hello and welcome to the Metapod Podcast, the Pokemon podcast that revolves around the evolving meta. I'm Jake, that's Sean, and today we've got a couple fun topics for you today. But first of all, Sean, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm good, Jake. I'm just chilling. I did the stream on Saturday.
I was going to say, how was your League Cup?
It was good. It was a chill League Cup. It was a quick League Cup. We we were one player off from doing a top eight. It's a smaller League Cup, which I think was, it's interesting. It's indicative of like the fact that it's very late in the season. Only a few people left, I think, are like that can get maybe a world's invite. Like you know, if you're in or you're out probably.
Yeah.
So I think that means that a lot of people are like, okay, I'm not going to go to any more League Cups. I'm really going to focus on any regionals, NAIC. So it was a smaller cup, but it was a lot of fun. A lot of cool decks. The person who ended up winning is still in contention for a world's invite. Like he needed those extra points. He's trying to get it at Los Angeles and then maybe NAIC if that doesn't work out. But it was fun. There was a giant Piplup that I had with me. It was great.
A giant Piplup?
Yeah, you remember
the official Metapod YouTube channel? Piplup?
They don't make a giant Metapod yet. Yeah.
No, not yet. Well, they do have that like beanbag cocoon one. Do you remember?
They do. Yeah, everyone was telling us. A bunch of people sent us pictures like, you should get this. And I looked at it and I'm like, remember how the body height, it was like for people 5'4 or whatever or shorter. And we're both
Well,
not us.
If I shrink a little bit, you know, as I get older, maybe just
cut my legs off and I'll be great.
Yeah, we'll be fine. But
how about you? How was your weekend?
The weekend was good. Did my final weekend of one of my sports. So that was really nice. Wrapping that up, you know, getting a little bit more time. Hopefully going to be able to play some cards this week. Nice. Before my other sports wrap up, but just a busy time of year, you know, as we get in summer. I don't know if I'm ready though for the Las Vegas heat, because it's starting to get warm out here, and going outside is a little difficult, you know, sometimes.
Jake, do you have the thing where you look out the window and you like see the heat waves in the air yet?
Oh, I don't think I have that.
You'll get there. I'm going to tell you right now.
I'll probably be able to like when I'm in the car and stuff like that later, but probably not like in my house right now.
Slightly off topic, but Jake, how impressed or jealous were you at the post that I put in Discord of my One Piece pulls?
I am jealous because that card is one of the... For anyone who needs context and maybe aren't in our official Discord server, link in the show notes and the description below to join for free. Sean posted a poll. He got the secret rare Bon Clay Mr. 2 from EB01, the recent set that came out in One Piece. And it's pretty good. I mean, it's a rocking card.
Yeah, I'm a big Bon Clay fan.
Have you read the text on the card? Do you even know what it means?
I think you get to attach one of your... Oh, no, you get to take a Don from your Don deck and put it into play unrested, meaning it's basically an energy... It's kind of like energy acceleration for Pokemon.
Yes, in its simplest form. And then also when it attacks, think of like genome hacking.
Yep.
Basically like a genome hacking, copying the powers. So... It's a really, really good card. It's like $45. Yeah. And any deck that is a purple deck plays four of it.
So, oh my gosh. So, yeah.
Yeah. So if you need some trade fodder. Yeah. If you need some trade fodder, Sean, there you go. But if it's for your collection, that's awesome.
I opened three packs is all I opened, Jake. And I was like, I almost wanted to call the store and be like, box is dead. Just to let you know, the box is dead.
Oh, actually, no. Because the boxes, and now we're going way off topic.
Did the box have, like, there's an alternate art usually in the box too, right?
Well, so this is a cool thing about trading card games. So boxes are pretty much not mapped. Mapped's not the right word, but somewhat predictable in some senses. So in One Piece, EBO1 was the first set to ever guarantee three big hit boxes.
Oh,
so
okay.
In the box that secret rare came in, there's also two alternate arts.
Okay, nice. Yeah.
In that box.
And it could be the alternate art of the secret rare.
Yeah, it could be of the alternate art of the secret rare, but of that two does not count a potential manga rare.
So you could have four.
Yeah, you could four hits in a box. Yeah. And then also you get like the comparable like regular EXs, Vs, you know, in there as well. You still get like six of them or something like that in a booster box. So I really like EBO1. If you find some cheap EBO1 and you like One Piece or you want to get into a new card game, it's a cool one.
But back to Pokemon, Jake.
Back to Pokemon.
We can dive into the first topic because it will lead nicely into our second topic. Which is that
silly first topic.
The Ultra Pro is releasing a Rayquaza legendary foil playmat. But importantly, and the reason I wanted to bring this up, there's two things. But for me, Ultra Pro has started doing foil playmats that have like a little foil shine to them, like foil accents or whatever. I think they've done them for, what's it called? For Magic in the past. But Jake, you have some thoughts on the design of this playmat too.
Where's the meme in, what is it? Futurama, where it's like, it's
shut up and take my money?
Like, zero days since whatever.
Yep.
Do you know what billboard I'm talking about?
I know the idea. Yeah.
We have an official billboard now that says 0 days since Jake has complained about Ultra Pro playmats.
Yep.
Because, like, let me tell you, Ultra Pro has produced some really, really nice stuff. But especially in the last couple years, it is literally just a stock image and a very, very basic background. And that's what they call a $30 playmat. Now, if your favorite Pokemon is Rayquaza, whatever the official pronunciation is, I don't know. I'm not a broadcaster for Pokemon. If that's your favorite Pokemon or that's your kid's favorite Pokemon and they really want the playmat, there's nothing wrong with that. But I can guarantee that for the same exact price, you can get a custom playmat that is like actually like fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's full of life. It's full of energy. It's full of, I mean, I have so many playmats. I have a whole wall of playmats that I got for less than that. It's crazy.
This playmat is $29.99. So it's not
$29.99.
It's not to say like, look, $29.99, I think is fine, standard.
Yeah, I think that's pretty typical for playmats, especially if they're gonna have like a foil layering. Then that's not a bad price by any means. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the art is a terrible price.
Yeah, it does feel like, oh, we had a Rayquaza.png file that was that we slap on everything, and then like, you know, behind it we have a, you know, oh, overview of Earth.png file. That, you know, and not to say that there's not art involved, there's art, but like, I don't think that art was done by Ultra Pro. That art was just given to Ultra Pro, and they were like, ah, yes, I have Photoshop background image.
I have
print
space Pokemon. I need space background.
Yes, exactly. So
types on Google space background.
So yeah, I mean, look, it's fine. It's I wanted to mention it because they are starting to do more foil playmats. They do them for Magic, so maybe Ultra Pro will make a foil playmat with actual proper art. But in the
meanwhile, the thing is, why doesn't before we get into our part two of this topic, why doesn't Ultra Pro do like, you know, like I think of you know, all the playmats in the last couple of years, like playmats that you get for entering an event.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I mean, NAIC, you know, you get a beautiful illustrated playmat that's the design of whatever the area is you're going right now. Like for the team challenge, right? Do you remember the team challenge?
Oh, yeah. They were great. Those playmats were awesome.
Yeah. I got a playmat for the team challenge that looked really, really nice. And even if it's like, still basic images. They don't look like they were copy and pasted from like the official video game, right?
Yeah. There's design around it, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they just don't go back to that. Because even like the Team Challenge qualifier ones, I wish I could show you all, but I'd have to pull it off of my desk and move these monitors and whatnot. But
I mean, my guess, Jake, in terms of that, is those playmats are probably a part of the design package that Pokemon does for every new set. Because usually they'll feature art, some artistry. I think the only exceptions to that are the IC and the Worlds playmats. Those are like custom designed. But the regional playmats usually feature art that is referential to the art that you see in the set design. So, but like it still is designed, right? Like it's distinct and bespoke. These playmats, my guess is that these are not designed by the Pokemon company, but instead are, you know, licensed by Ultra Pro, and Ultra Pro has access to probably, you know, a toolkit or whatever of assets that they can put together for approval. And so it's a little, you know, I imagine Ultra Pro, I can't imagine they wouldn't be allowed to commission art, but it's probably for them like, hey, as part of our licensing agreement, this is the cheapest option. That's my guess.
If you want a playmat that is cooler at the same exact price and supporting the Metapod, look no further than the Metapod podcast. If you didn't see in our official Discord server, again, link in the description below, or if you're not watching on YouTube, where Sean is showing it on screen right now, waving it around, we have a new playmat version. We've had the Viridian Forest playmat for several years now.
Yep.
And so we didn't really change. Zach Roy didn't change up too much, but made our Metapod on the playmat shiny. And Sean, I think I should let you do the official sales terms and conditions apply. Ask your doctor directly before.
Yeah. I mean, so net, we haven't been able to sell the playmat before. It was just, you know, when we commissioned Zach for the art, it was like, you know, we agreed like, oh, we're not going to sell the mat. It's fine.
We also didn't really want to sell the mat. Like Sean and I had extra mats that like we were giving away whenever we'd meet up with people at events.
Exactly. So, but I mean, we've heard from a lot of you, and I know a lot of people in the community was like, hey, I'd love to get a playmat if I could. So chatted with Zach. Zach was like, cool with us selling the playmat. I will say $5 of every sale is a royalty payment to Zach. So you are supporting Zach when you buy a playmat. And right now, if you buy one, you are guaranteed to get, I say guaranteed, you will most likely get the version that is the green Metapod, the normal version. But as I was showing on screen, as Jake was alluding to, Zach kindly made a shiny version of the Metapod in the playmat for us. And that you will get, I will roll a D20 for every sale. And if it comes up 20, you will receive the shiny version. You cannot buy 20 mats and guarantee yourself a shiny. Like I really don't want to send 20 mats to anybody anyway. So yeah,
it's like if you've ever played the video game and you've ever played the video game and shiny hunted or watched someone do shiny hunting, right? They could get the shiny Pokemon within like the first five encounters, or it could take them like literally 10,000 tries. You know, it's just the roll of the dice. But again, there's no manipulation going on here. We have unlimited shiny playmats. If everybody rolls a D20, then
everybody's
going to get a playmat.
And I will say, it's not like a limited time thing. I have like a batch that I ordered to, you know, reduce the cost per playmat. So the playmats are $29.99. I should say that on the upfront, which basically just covers the
same price as the Ultra Pro playmats.
Exactly. It basically covers the cost of me printing them in a batch of 25 each and shipping them in the US. If you're outside the US, the price, you know, I'll need to collect more money from you to send it to you. Like, you can buy it, But just know that the price on the Discord is for U.S. shipping only. But, you know, I'll coordinate that with the DMs in DMs if for international orders, if you want.
And again, if you're interested in getting one for yourself, because if you've ever met me at like locals or an event or something like that, except Sean's never met me before. You've seen the playmat probably. Some other people have the playmat. They're nice playmats. They work well. They're durable. And I mean, I like them a lot. I always use them whenever I go out and play Pokemon.
Yep. So, yeah, hit us up in our Discord. More reasons to join the Discord. And, you know, maybe there will be more in the future of different designs in the same style. Who knows? Question mark.
Yeah. But the who knows question mark. I guess it just depends on what the what the popularity is and what the desire is. But again, if you want one, check out our official Discord in the show notes or in the description or whatever your platform is that you're watching, listening to us on below. But Sean,
Jake,
let's get to actual news.
Yeah.
Shrouded Fable, a new Pokemon TCG set, is coming out in August, the beginning of August. This is the upcoming special English set. In here, going to be featuring some of the cards: Monkey Dory, Fezzendipity, Okie Dokie. Some of my favorite Pokemon names, and then Petrarunt. I think
petulant. Is like petulant.
Petrarunt.
Like, sure. Oh, if you're feeling petulant, no, it's Petrarunt.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what feeling Petrarunt means.
Well, petulant. I don't actually.
It's not as easy as Okie Dokie.
I know how to use it in a sentence, but yeah, that's true. It's not as easy as the rest. It's a little bit more obtuse. But yeah.
And again, this special set is coming out on August 2nd in here. There's going to be some fun cards in there, over 95 cards. One of the things that's really interesting to me and Sean about this set, according to PokeBeach.com, there are more A-Spec cards coming.
Yep.
A-Spec's continuing for, what is it, a third set now?
Yeah, yeah, three in a row.
Yeah, three sets in a row. Is it ending the gimmick at this point? Isn't it usually three sets that the gimmicks go on?
I mean, it depends, but I think Shining, I want to say Radiant Pokemon lasted for a cycle of a year. Amazing Rares had a year-long cycle, I think, as well.
I was gonna say the first thing that I think of is Amazing Rares, because that was the only reason to buy like Champion's
Cosmic
Path and Vivid Voltage and all that stuff.
So I don't know how long they'll make new A-Specs, but I wouldn't be surprised if this continues for the last two sets of this year at least. So we might get a total of five sets with Amazing A-Specs. Too many different special types.
Yeah, too many of them. Plenty of Pokemon EXs and Ultra EX, rares, special illustrations, hyper rares, gold cards, things of that nature. But the most special thing, Sean, about this set that I want you to take note of, the special set releasing on August 2nd does mean that it's legal for the World Championships this year.
We called it, Jake, because when we said that the set is going to come out, I was like, I think they even mentioned the date, but I was like, yeah, this will be it. There'll be one set, a mini set that's legal for Worlds.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be a brand new meta of World Championships. I don't think we know any of the cards official. Well, we know some of the cards, especially because of the mirror set in Japan has released or announced, revealed some of these cards in Night Wanderer, which there's another story on PokeBeach about that has all the dark type Pokemon in there, which can be really cool.
I think the weird thing for me about this set, Jake, and this isn't a bad thing, I just am trying to think, like, so this is a specialty set. Most specialty sets have some sort of a bonus gimmick, right? Like they're either going to feature shiny Pokemon, right? That's a bit of a common trope. Or they'll Or they'll be like a Crowns or a Champion's Path or a Crown Zenith, in which they'll feature, like, typically they'll feature a bunch of extra, like, illustration rares or character rares. You know, there's something that makes you want to buy into you know, not be able to buy a full box, because this is another set where you can't buy a full box. You have to buy ETBs or blister packs. The last specialty set that we had that probably is similar to this is maybe the Pokemon Go set.
Oh, yeah. The Pokemon Go set's probably pretty equivalent. I was going to say Champion's Path didn't have a lot of alternate arts. It just had the Shining Charizard V, and then the Charizard didn't have the Charizard VMAX.
It did. It had the Hyper Rare.
Yeah.
But like, but see, that's, I still consider that a bit, just a little bit of a gimmick, right? You have a Chase Charizard. And at least with Pokemon Go, you know, I don't know if Pokemon Go is a particularly successful set from a collector standpoint, but you did have, I believe, Radiant Charizard, Radiant Blastoise, and Radiant Venusaur in the set. So there was at least this, like, you know, aspect of a callback. And my question with this one is, you're getting the new Pokemon in, like, full arts in this, but I do wonder if this set, like, is maybe missing a gimmick that will, you know, push people over the edge into buying a non-standard set, right? Like a set that you can't just buy a box for.
Well, I think if you look at this, like, comparably, and I pulled up the set list on Pokemon Go. I pulled up the set list on Champion's Path before this. There are 15 illustration rare Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And then after that, there are 10 more or 5 more special illustration rare. Wait, 15 illustration rare Pokemon and then 5 more illustration rare and supporter cards with 5 gold cards. 10 ultra rare Pokemon overall. I'm not talking too much about the 5 ultra rare Pokemon, but when you talk about like the special cards and you think about over the last like year or whatever since Pokemon has started regularly putting these illustration rares in sets because not a holiday set, it has made just opening like way more exciting. Like that's the gimmick, right? Yeah. I think is these like illustration rares or the second gimmick. I mean, you look at the Pokemon Go set, this had like besides just a regular V, right? You had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 cards. 8 cards of full art supporters, full art Pokemon, and special illustration rare Pokemon in the set. So having 20 of them, 25 of these kinds of cards with 5 hyper rares, 5 special illustration and supporters, and then 15 illustration rare Pokemon. I think like that's just the gimmick overall. I mean, we already know the gold cards, or I mean, we don't know the gold cards, but we can assume that the gold cards, some of them could be energies, like a dark energy, right? Because that's a big one.
Yep.
Yeah. Or dark is a big theme in this set.
Yeah, that's the theory, is that there's going to be a gold dark and maybe a gold metal energy. Yeah, it'll be, maybe it's closer to Crown Zenith than it is in terms of like the style of special set than it is to Pokemon Go. I'll be interested to see how this one is received because, and what they reveal as well, because at least Crown Zenith too, it featured a bunch of illustration rares of that were reprints, right? Like the Zacian V was a good example of like a really cool, like a special illustration rare. So I don't know. That's what I'll be looking for is like, if I'm opening this set, if I'm going to pay a slight premium on a per pack basis, what am I looking for? Right? Like what am I, if it's all net new cards, that's fine. But you know, there's a lot of illustration rares out now in every set. So like, what's going to push this over the edge? That's just my only thought is like, okay, how you getting me to buy the blister boxes?
Can we talk about how Crown Zenith was such an incredible set?
So good.
Actually, like I just pulled up the set list because I was like just double checking to make sure that we had, you know, our thoughts right on like the set list. And I mean, there are so many cards in this set. There are so many illustration rares in this. And that doesn't even talk about like the regular, like, because this is also where they did full art supporters and then alternates, like special illustration supporters too. So it's like, man, there's so many of them. But yeah, hopefully it's like that. I would imagine I kind of like this style a little bit more compared to like Chinese. Hidden Fates and whatnot, because we've talked about on Hidden Fates where there's a whatchamacallit, like it felt repetitive, right? Like, oh, what was the last shiny set that we had?
Paldean Fates.
It was just like, oh, it's this third thing in a row that feels the exact same as the other ones. So it's like, it's kind of crazy. It's kind of wild in that aspect, but hopefully it'll bring the price a lot more down, because like, it's not the, oh, I have to get this, I need like to do this ASAP like kind of thing. Does that make sense? I don't know if I explained that well.
I mean, I guess shiny sets have in the past at least commanded a slightly more intense buyout. But I don't know. I wonder if that's kind of gone down. Because to your point, I think people agree with you. Like, I think illustration rares and before that character rares have set like a new standard for like, that's actually the new shiny in for a lot of people. Because like the art is just incredible. And I actually wonder if there's a world in which Pokemon goes away from the stock standard style shinies they've had in the past and moves to like an illustration shiny. That would be cool. Like a Pokemon in an environment, but it's the shiny version of that Pokemon. Like that, to me, I want them to combine both of those worlds. That would be my goal. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. But to your point, I do like the illustration rare format. I think Crown Zenith opening that, like, people are more likely to enjoy, play with the cards, enjoy the art over just a shiny set. So that's
especially
fair.
Because the Crown Zenith, the being able to get a hit was a lot easier as well, right? I mean, because statistically you get like what, 4 or 5 special or not special illustration, like illustration rares of the little baby Pokemon, you know, not an ultra rare special illustration, just a regular one. You know, you get like 5 of those in 36 packs ish, you're way more likely to get a hit on that, or more hits when you buy like the ETB and things like that.
Yeah. But I was going to say that's Shrouded Fable. So
yeah, hopefully it's good.
And next one, I think we can go quickly to the fact that Pokemon Center, there's going to be launching a new Pokemon Center in Australia and then another one in New Zealand. So it seems like it's the website that's launching in those regions. I'm looking at the article now. So it may not be an actual physical center, but I think this is interesting because I do know that people like Max Mofo and other Australian YouTubers especially, for a long time now have been like relying on the Pokemon Center Japan website. And that's where maybe like when things would come out, that's the site that they would go to. And I do think this is going to be nice for people in those regions to actually like get their hands on the special ETBs that come out with every set, get their hands on like all the cool plushies and t-shirts and whatever. So just a little note there that expect the Pokemon Center online website to come to Australia and New Zealand in the coming, months, weeks, something like that. Yeah. Just a little note, new story.
Just a little note if you're ever heading over there.
Jake, let's go back now to GameStop. I know that you sent me some articles. I also watched some videos and we have some more details, but I wanted to get your, out of you reading all the things, how do you think the GameStop rollout of the PSA card, buying and selling has gone so far?
I think it's actually gone decently well. If you saw me post in the Discord, I think maybe I did this in the hanging out section. The pricing on there. So there was an image that somebody did like before they started, they were like testing the system or whatever. They put in the alternate art Noivern V, right? Mm-hmm. Gem Min 10, PSA 10 of that card. Not an overall, like, overly expensive card, but a cool card, a $140 or so dollar card or something like that, as a PSA 10, perfect grade. And so they went into the GameStop thing. They had a buddy check it, and it says on there in the price lookup that they have, they have like this price lookup system. And so they put the certificate ID in there, the PSA certificate ID, the special number that every PSA card has that basically allows places to verify that this is real, pulled up immediately in trade-in credit value, and then a prepaid card Venmo cash value. So a couple things to note there. One, PayPal, really interesting. Or I'm sorry, Venmo, very interesting. Like, those money transfer systems, I think, are really, really cool that they're able to do that. I think that's really neat. And then second, the pricing is actually pretty good comparatively of like the credit. Like, they're not giving you just nothing, right? It's not like you bring in a card that you could sell on eBay for $150 and they're only giving you 50, right? Like we joked about on the podcast. So actual decent pricing model overall, in my opinion, in terms of giving the money back to people.
Yeah. I mean, that one example I think is pretty good. I have seen other examples though, where the cash value offered is really bad.
Oh really?
Yeah. Like some of Leonhardt's cards that he brought in were like worth like more than double what they offered. So it was like he was getting 30% value. So, and then I will say when they're reselling them now, some of the values, like what they're reselling it for, like Celebration Charizard, I'll give as an example. There's a recent auction for $160. The GameStop price for the same card in PSA 10 is $167. That's super competitive. That's just like basically market price for that, then when they resell the card. But then there's another card in here. Yeah, Serena from Silver Tempest in PSA 9. The most recent auction, eBay or TC, you know, PSA cards, $21. GameStop selling it for $70. So like more than triple the actual market value is what they're trying to sell it for. So it's a weird one, man. I am not exactly sure how their back-end system is calculating certain things, because some cards, like you said, that Neuvern as a good example, like I know they're pulling the pricing data, it seems like, from psacards.com. So like that is a website where PSA, I don't know if they sell, but they can definitely track sales prices of all these different cards. And it seems like their market value, they're basing their trade-in value or cash value off of, comes from there. But yeah, some cards you get a good value, and some cards it's just completely like lowballed and like it doesn't make sense. So it's kind of just weird in my mind. It's just very strange.
It also only participates in a certain amount of stores overall. Yes. I remember I sent this in the Discord as well. Find a participating store near you right before I was about to go look for them. I'm glad I didn't, you know, go look over here in Las Vegas, because they're only available in Connecticut, Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, New York, Tennessee, and Texas. So only a handful of states, you know, just testing it out right now.
Yeah. But I don't know. Overall, though, I would say that the one thing Leonhardt noted, which is that, and I, you know, when I watched the video, I can imagine this is true everywhere, is there wasn't really a much training for GameStop employees.
Launch. I think I said that last week, like that was going to happen.
So they were kind of working on the fly. They did have a checklist in which like to go through some things. They do scan the QR code on the back. That's how they pull up the cards. But that does mean, and Leonhardt at least was able to verify this somewhat, which is older PSA slabs do not work in this system. Because PSA slabs PSA slabs from before they started using the new label and new QR code on the back, they don't have QR codes. So there is no way for the GameStop system to look up that card in the PSA, you know, inventory.
That's so interesting.
So yeah, if you have an older slab, at least as of last week, it may not be able to be sold to GameStop currently. But I mean, the good news is I think the vast majority of PSA cards are actually pretty within the last 4 or 5 years. So I don't think it's going to be a huge issue.
Yeah, especially just with the popularity boom that has come along with it.
So, but I don't know. It was really interesting. Yeah, I would say if you have slabs and you're looking for like a pretty easy place to go sell them, you're going to get, you're not going to be able to negotiate. It's going to be like a straightforward, do you want to take this offer or not? Which
you want cash or credit.
Right. And I think that to some degree, that's a nice feeling for people who don't really want to get into like negotiating or feeling like wondering if they're getting ripped off, because it's in some ways like it's just a system telling the employee what the price is. So it's not like a, you know, because sometimes you go to a local game store, or you go to a card show and you don't really know if the person is being like fully upfront with you and the offers.
Just like honest.
Right. So there's definitely social anxiety that can come from that. So, but the nice thing too is like if somebody gives you an offer and you know what the market price is and it's like a little too low, just say no. And, you know, I would say don't get mad at the employee. They're just telling you what the system is telling them they can give you. So
yeah, and again,
yeah.
Hopefully they have enough training. Hopefully people care about it enough. Hopefully, honestly, too, you can go in. I'm actually going to be going to Kentucky soon, so maybe checking out, see if I can find a PSA slab in terms of buying of like how like another little source of you know, getting into it. Of seeing like what the entry is and how they're dealing with that.
Yeah, it's a cool little system. I know I've seen some people in comments and other things saying, you know, ultimately like support your local game store, because there is the reality, like, you know, local game stores may, you know, want to buy those same slabs from you. They might be willing to offer you a higher price for those slabs, and then that gives them inventory to then sell to others. So I do think there's this weird tension of like huge corporation, you know, but I also don't want to discount the fact that like there's so many GameStops that for a lot of people that will be a much more accessible place to sell slabs if they want to sell like a larger quantity. So like I think way, you know, for everybody, just way, like if you have a local game store that you have a good relationship with, that's probably a better first place to go. But, you know, more people being able to sell and, you know, access that type of thing is also a good thing. So, Jake, anything else that you wanted to talk about with this or moving on to the next topic?
I don't think there's anything more I need to say about PSA. It's just like,
fair.
It's a GameStop thing.
Yeah, it's a GameStop thing. But
yeah,
Jake, you wanted to finish this podcast out talking about one card in particular. Give us a rundown.
There is a Sorosic coming, and this has caught Twitter by storm. Sean, this Sorosic is an upcoming card in the Pokemon sets. Does it say that it's going to be in the... whatever that holiday set we just
talked about.
That one. Shrouded Fable. Coming in that one, it's a supporter that says your opponent discards cards from their hand until they have three cards in their hand. And it has caught Twitter by storm. Everyone thinks the end of the world is coming. Sean, what do you think about this card?
I mean, I think in the right control deck, this card is really gross. I mean, we've seen how devastating a well-timed Eerie can be, or, you know, a well-timed Erica's Hospitality. So like those are different cards, but they do have that same control feel. So I don't know. Your opponent does get to choose what they discard. So that does limit the effectiveness of what this card can do, as opposed to like an Eerie, right? Like Eerie, you get to pick, is it a trainer or an item? You get to pick a card to discard with Eerie. So I think that gives the control player a little bit more power. Whereas, you know, maybe your opponent is just tossing away cards they don't really care about, cards they don't really want, etc. So I don't know. I don't see this card as being the end of the world. I think between the draw engines of Curlia, Dragcloak, Radiant Greninja, and Bibarel, I think that that, and the fact that this doesn't, you know, let you choose what your opponent discards, I think all that combination doesn't feel too broken to me. But what are your thoughts? And what is the internet saying?
I think, the internet thinks that control is going to go insane. Control is going to be the greatest thing on earth. Why is this card around? This card should be banned, blah, blah, blah. Throw the conversation that we had the other week about Aerie needing to be banned out the window, right? You remember us talking a little bit about that when Twitter was on fire? This card is the new card that takes the scene. I think the card's going to be good. Do not get me wrong, especially in control decks. I think it's going to be good. But ultimately, I feel like with the, like you said, the natural progression of draw and the different cards like Bibarel and things like that that allow you to draw, I think can kind of get away with it, right? Because three cards still allows you to have like relative flexibility in what you're trying to do, right? And I mean, it's all about, I mean, if you have nine cards in hand, right, your opponent's going to be like, oh, this could be a really nice way to dwindle the hand down, you know, and play that. But also, you know, if you have certain decks like Gardevoir, for example, right? Yep. Gardevoir just put a lot of energies in there. All right, yeah, you're done. You know, any card that uses some sort of stuff from the discard or could get stuff out pretty easily from the discard, right? If you have like super rods or anything like that, you know, that's just going to be utilized overall. So I don't think it's going to be the end of the world. I think it's going to be good. I think it's definitely going to be used in control and make control more viable, but I don't think control is one that is needed to be smited. I think you just need to figure out how to play against it.
I think there's one scenario that I could see this card being really toxic is the wrong word, but that's, I'm going to go there, Jake. Mm-hmm. The one scenario
I get it.
Being toxic is if at the beginning of the game, if this is the first supporter that the opponent, that the control player plays and they go second, think about like, you know, if you're going first, you don't have the option to use the supporter, right? Odds are you might play out a few cards from your hand. You know, maybe you have a supporter in hand and you're just holding on to it. But usually I think a lot of decks that are setup decks, they need a fairly large hand size in order to get that little combo going on turn two. Mm-hmm. And that's why people play things like Rotom in Charizard and maybe other decks, which is that you can, at the end of your first turn without a supporter, you can sort of refill your hand up to 6-7 cards so that you can really empty your hand on the following turn and get rolling. This card, you can play this card going second and put your opponent down to 3 cards in hand before they've had the chance to play a supporter. And sometimes, especially that decks that are very Arven heavy, with Arven, you oftentimes play the Arven, get a couple of cards, maybe it's a Forest Seal Stone and something else, but oftentimes you maybe want to get an Ultra Ball with one of those cards. So if you don't have enough cards in your hand, you can't execute that game plan. So I think that's one of the main scenarios in which this card can be really problematic for the format, is going second on your first turn mm-hmm. for the control player. That I wanted to point that out.
Yeah, I do think that's a fair assumption overall.
Yeah. Especially like, I don't know what other Pokemon, I can't off the top of my mind think about Pokemon that also force your opponent to either discard or shuffle cards from their hand back into their deck. But they do exist, right? Like they're often,
Hand Trimmer?
Yeah, well, Hand Trimmer, does that make you go down to 5, though?
Yeah, I think it makes you go down to 5.
So this already, like, you know, once you've played this, Hand Trimmer actually doesn't do anything. I think you could play this with a card like Grabber, and that would mm-hmm. be really annoying, because, like, if you play this, they discard down, maybe they're holding an evolution Pokemon or two. And then you, I don't know if Grabber gets evolutions actually, but point being, I know Grabber, you can target Pokemon in the hand and then you can make them shuffle in with that. And if there is a Pokemon that has an attack that makes your opponent shuffle in or discard any number of cards from their hand, I think that could become a combination that becomes also really challenging, but I don't know. I mean, again, the fact that you don't get to choose what your opponent discards and the fact that we have cards like Bibarel and Raiding Greninja in the format, especially, which a lot of decks can utilize, I think it limits the power of this in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. those are my thoughts.
I think a lot of people have like the big Doomsday vibe, and I think it's overhyped. I mean, it's the same Doomsday vibe as like Iron Hands when Iron Hands came out.
I mean,
how quiet
Iron Hands,
has that crowd been?
I mean, I will say Iron Hands is a good card. I mean,
it is a good card, but everybody
bannable.
Was saying, "Oh my god, it's the end of the world."
Yeah. It's not ADP. We're not there yet.
Yeah. It's not too bad. It's not too bad at all.
I mean, yeah. Is there any scenario in particular that people are worried about, or is it just like a vague, this is a problem because control is good right now?
I think it just came as ill timing because Azul won the won the regional. I think that's really just what it is.
Yeah. I think it's great if you're a control player, especially on that first turn going second. I think that's when you want to play this card, is to limit your opponent's resources early in the game. And then later on, I don't think you play this card if at all later in the game, because later in the game, you want to be playing Eerie. You want to be playing Erica's Hospitality. You want to know what your opponent is, what's in their hand. And you want to know what you can get rid of from their hand. So I really think this is just an early game card in that deck anyways, but I don't know. I'm not a control expert.
You can get more of the control experts on the Metapod pot. Well, I'm just kidding.
No, you cannot. Well, maybe Jake, if you want to play control.
I'm sure, honestly, I mean, the uncommon energy, I'm sure Azul will talk a lot about, you know, why they pick control, what they really feel about control, and maybe they even talk about the card too, as well in their upcoming podcast episode. So again, you know, supporting the homies, go check out the other ones, because he did win, and yeah. Sean and I talked about Ultra Pro Mats for
no, I mean, look, yeah, Azul did win. Control is a real deck, so like we said, I think Kieran is a card that decks should maybe at least put in one of. Maybe if you think control is going to be a big problem between now and Worlds, maybe run a Pal Pad as well to play another Kieran, because Kieran is a card that I don't believe control can currently target from your hand because it's a supporter. So just going to throw that out there. If you're really worried about control, there are options.
There's plenty of options, and we'll try to let you know as many as we possibly can here on the Metapod Podcast. Do you have anything else that you want to talk about?
Nope. Short one this week.
I'm Jake. That's Sean. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And we'll see you in the next one.